Welcome to the Light of Truth, Lesson 5. And we're going to be looking at water baptism today. And I'm just going to put up a quick PowerPoint here. And hopefully you'll be able to follow along, have your Bible with you. And we're going to have a really good look at what the Bible has to say about water baptism today. So thank you for joining us. We're just going to go straight into this. And so water baptism, of course, Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3. Verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." And if Jesus needed to be baptized, then we certainly need to be baptized. That's very clear from Scripture that Jesus is our example in all things. So if Jesus felt or needed to be baptized, then we definitely need to be baptized. And of course, Jesus told John the Baptist at the time, he said, "This is to fulfill all righteousness." That there were certain patterns laid down in the Old Testament of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And Jesus recognized these things coming into the New Testament. He also, as our example and our sacrifice, he needed to be baptized as well. So he was baptized, and then the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him, just as when we are baptized, we should expect the Spirit of the Lord to descend on us as well. Galatians 3:27 puts it this way. It says, "For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When we get baptized, we are literally putting on Christ, that we take on his name, we take on his identity, that we become a Christian, a little Christ, that we put on Christ. And we become not just a follower, but we seek to identify ourselves completely with Christ and live a life that pleases him and that represents him well. So in this lesson, we're going to answer the following questions about water baptism with the Word of God. Number one, what does the Bible say about water baptism? Number two, does it really matter which way we are baptized? And three, how did the apostles baptize? That's, as apostolics, we want to know what did the apostles do, and we want to follow their pattern as much as possible. So in order for us to answer these questions, we need to look and see what the Bible has to say. So John 3:5, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. He tells him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So this is very clearly a entrance requirement into the kingdom of God, that we'd be born of the water and of the Spirit. So in order to be born of the water, of course, we need to be baptized in Jesus' name. John chapter 3, the entire context of this chapter is baptism. Chapter before, John the Baptist is baptizing. By the end of chapter 3, Jesus is baptizing, very much in a baptism context that this story is highlighted by the writer. And Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Again, a very, very clear scripture here about the importance of being baptized for salvation. And some people kind of get stuck on this point, but it's important to just go with what does the Bible say? And the Bible's very clear here in indicating that this is a salvation issue, that we need to obey. And this isn't a matter of works. We're not trying to earn salvation, but we are expressing our faith by obedience to the Word of God. And if we don't obey the Word of God, then our faith is dead. Book of James tells us faith without works is dead, and works of obedience are not the same as works of merit. And some people kind of get caught up in that, but very important that we obey the Word of God in order to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Another scripture here telling us very, very clearly that the baptism is for salvation, that this is something that literally saves us. And the example given in the context is that of Noah and being in the ark was saved by being in the ark and rising on the waters of the flood. And we see here the like figure, talking about Noah, even baptism does also now save us because it cleanses our conscience. It wipes away the shame and the guilt of sin that we have carried for so long. And I've had people get baptized and tell me afterwards they felt cleaner than soap. It's just the wonderful, wonderful feeling of having their sins washed away by the power of God. And it's not, you know, in the water. Here it says, you know, it's not for the filth of the flesh. We're not giving anyone a bar of soap. This is to cleanse our conscience, that God does something when we do our part. When we obey his word, when we express our faith, God steps in and does something that only God can do, and that is remove our sin. Acts 2:38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Again, here, very clear scripture telling us this is for the remission or forgiveness of sins. The word in the Greek here is ephesis, means forgiveness of sins, or remission of sins, to remove our sins. So when we are baptized, God removes our sins. And you can look at many passages of scripture that talk about how, you know, he's going to put our sins in a sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us. When does that happen? Well, according to these verses, it happens when we are baptized and God cleanses our conscience and removes or remits our sin. Praise God. Romans 6:4 says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we are buried with Christ when we are baptized. This is identifying with Christ's own burial. And we know the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So how do we obey that gospel? Well, we obey the death part of it by dying to ourselves, our own will, and repentance, and we are buried with him. That's how we obey the burial aspect of the gospels, by being buried with him through baptism. Praise God. And that we should have a new life, that this is changing from our old ways to our new ways. This is taking that repentance step a little bit further. We're identifying with Christ in baptism, that we can walk in that newness of life as God fills us with his Spirit. Acts 2:41 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see here that those that gladly received the word were baptized. The question for you this morning or this afternoon, this evening, whatever time you're watching this, have you gladly received the word? Are you willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus and have your sins washed away, just like those in the book of Acts? Acts 8:36 says, Philip has been preaching to the African eunuch, and he says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? He'd been preaching about Jesus. He'd been explaining from Isaiah 53 that Jesus was the one talked about there, and obviously he was preaching the gospel, because the African eunuch turned to him and said, can I be baptized now that there's water present? Acts 22:16. And says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. See, when we are baptized, it washes our sins away. And it's not something we're doing, it's something God is doing, that he washes away our sins when we call on his name. And it's interesting here, it explains what the Bible means when it talks about calling on the name of the Lord. Sometimes people read this in other contexts, in Romans and so on, and they don't understand. Calling on the name of the Lord is something that happens at baptism. That when we are baptized, that's when the name of the Lord is called upon, usually by the one doing the baptizing. The word could mean call over. It's called over us in baptism as we go down in those waters. Someone is calling on the name of the Lord. And we call on the Lord to save us. Praise God. Acts 10:47-48 says, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So you see here that baptism is a command in scripture, and this was a command to the household of Cornelius, the European Italian man that was in the Roman army, but he was seeking God, and God sent him Peter to tell what he needed to do, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And some translations of the Bible translate this in the name of Jesus Christ. So of course we understand that Jesus is Lord. So the Bible is very clear about the importance of water baptism. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Water baptism is so important because when we are baptized, our sins are washed away through the blood of Jesus, as we've been explaining here. So the next question that we are going to answer in this lesson is, should we sprinkle or immerse in water? What does the word baptism actually mean? Well, it comes from the Greek word baptizo, means to baptize. Primarily a frequent form of bapto, to dip, was used among the Greeks to signify the dyeing of a garment or the drawing of water by dipping a vessel into another, for example. So, you know, when you dye a garment, it has to be all the way under in order for that change to take place. And when we are all the way under, there's a change that takes place. Praise God, as God removes our sin. Different lexicon here, Thayer's Greek lexicon, says, same word, baptizo, to dip repeatedly, to emerge, to submerge, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water. Metaphorically, to overwhelm. For example, someone could say, well, I'm just baptized in happiness or whatever. They're overwhelmed with something. So to be completely immersed in water. And Bible Soft's New Exhaustive Strong's Numbers and Concordance here tells us that baptizo, from a derivative of this other word, bapto, to immerse, submerge, or to make overwhelmed, fully wet, used only in the New Testament of ceremonial ablution, especially technically of the ordinance of Christian baptism. So that answers the question. Just the very word baptize means to submerge. Christening isn't really baptism because they're not submerged. They're simply sprinkled. So that's a separate thing. We don't really find that in the Bible, but we do see children being dedicated to the Lord, which is something we practice. But the question is, are you going to use which formula should you use? There's in Jesus' name, which we find in the Bible, or the Catholic Church, for example, uses Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to baptize. So which method are we going to use? In order for us to fully understand how we should be baptized, we must read and understand the Great Commission. In Jesus' final words to his followers, he addressed the issue of water baptism. There are three accounts recorded in the Bible about the Great Commission. We call this the Great Commission. It's what Jesus gave his disciples right before he ascended into heaven. In Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And the important thing to note here is that the word name is singular. Mark 16, 15 to 16 says, "He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." We read this earlier, but it's also part of the Great Commission. Luke 24, 47 says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Well, we've already seen that remission of sins happens at baptism, so this is obviously talking about baptism. And Luke summarizes what Matthew said. He said, just baptize in his name. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Luke just says, baptize in his name. Well, the important thing to remember here is that the name of Jesus is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We'll explain that here in a moment. So the whole key to understand the Great Commission is the fact that in all three accounts, Jesus spoke about baptism. He stressed the fact that it should be done in the name. In 1 Corinthians 14, 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." You see, some people look at these verses and they think, well, there's a contradiction here. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. But you got to remember, the Bible never contradicts itself. And if it appears to contradict, then there's probably another verse that will explain what we're not seeing correctly. So an important thing to remember, that no matter who we are, at different times we play different roles. When we are with our parents, we are their sons or daughters. When we are with our husband or wife, we are their spouses. And when we are with our siblings, we are their brothers or sisters. However, people who know us call us by our name. Remember that Father, Son, Holy Ghost are only titles. These are not names. Even if Father, Son, and Holy Ghost were names, we would still need to be baptized in Jesus' name, because Philippians 2, 9 to 10 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth." So just to back up a little bit here, I know I went through that fairly quickly. The name of Jesus is what is important to remember here, that Jesus is the name of the Father. Jesus said, "I came in my Father's name." Of course, the name of the Son is Jesus. We know that. You know, Mary was told, "Name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Jesus said, "The Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." So we must remember that the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is Jesus. There's only one God. You have to keep that in mind here, that you don't get confused about, oh, how many gods? There's only one God. So there's only one name, and the name of God is Jesus. We need to obey Matthew 28, 19 and be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So to truly be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's a very important point here. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? It has to be Jesus. It doesn't take long to discover the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is Jesus. The name Jesus appears in the Bible over 983 different times. Praise God. Colossians 3:17, this should answer the question once and for all right here. This one verse says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." In John 3:18, it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Remember John 3, the context is baptism. Matthew 1:21, I kind of quoted earlier, "She shall bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." So if we pray in Jesus' name, if we cast out devils in Jesus' name, if we pray for the sick in Jesus' name, expect them to be healed, then why shouldn't we be baptized in Jesus' name? The Bible tells us that we need to continue in the apostles' doctrine. Therefore, we should ask, how did the apostles baptize? This should answer the question of which formula we should use. It's very important for us to understand that Jesus spent 3 years teaching the 12 apostles who were to carry on the message of the gospel. Don't you think that Jesus made it very clear to them what they were to preach and teach? Remember, the Bible is very clear and doesn't contradict itself. And remember, in Luke 24, Jesus opened the understanding of the disciples, caused them to understand all the scriptures so that they knew who he was, they knew what their mission was, they knew what they were to preach. And in Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What was this rock that he's talking about? He's talking about the rock of who he was. Peter just said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. So knowing who Jesus was, Jesus returned and said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Peter uses these keys in Acts chapter 2 when he's preaching the very first sermon of the church, and people are wondering what they need to do to be saved. Peter gives the first preached message in Scripture of what to do to be saved in the New Testament era. Acts 2, verses 37 through 38, verse 37 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's both Jehovah and Messiah. He is both. And that's kind of helps us understand Matthew 28, 19 that we were talking about earlier. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he, again, it's very clear here, that we're to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. It's the name of Jesus that has the power to remove our sin. Jesus was the one that died for us. Jesus shed his blood on the cross. Jesus has all power. Jesus removes our sin. And Acts 2:42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, we must continue in what the apostles taught. And if the apostles taught, we must be baptized in Jesus' name. We shouldn't allow church history to change that. We can't allow tradition to come in and say, well, this is the way it's been done in my family or in my denomination or whatever. We have to go back to what does the Bible teach on this subject. Acts 8, 14 to 16 says, now when the apostles which are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So remember, they had received the word of God, and that meant they were baptized. And verse 16 elaborates, it says they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So there was no repeating of the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They obeyed that command and baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one that feared God with his entire house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. So here's someone that is devout. He fears God. He gives to the poor. He prays all the time. Now an angel comes to him and says, Cornelius, there's something else you need to do. Although you pray and you fear God and, you know, you're a wonderful man, there's something you need to do. You need to send for Peter and have him come. Verse 4, it says, when he looked on him, he was afraid, said, what is it, Lord? He said unto him, thy prayers, thine alms are come up for memorial before God. Your prayers, you've got God's attention, Cornelius. You've been living right. You've been doing all the right things. Verse 5, it says, now send men to Joppa, call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And coming down to verse 44, Peter preaches to Cornelius and his house. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just like in Acts chapter 2, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. You see, it's a command in Scripture to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And this is true whether it was the Jews in Acts chapter 2, the half-Jews, the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8 that we already read, or here in Acts chapter 10 where it was non-Jews, the Europeans, were commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, or the name of the Lord. Of course, we understand He is Lord. Amen. Acts 19, 1-5, here's some disciples that came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, these were devout people, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." He said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Remember John the Baptist. Then said Paul, "John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Now when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Very clear from Scripture here. It wasn't Father, Son, Holy Ghost being repeated over them. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Very, very clear passage of Scripture. And the interesting thing here is they were rebaptized in Jesus' name, although they had been baptized by a man that Jesus called the greatest prophet who ever lived, John the Baptist. They had to be rebaptized when they heard about being baptized in the name of Jesus. And if you're watching this today and you've been baptized before and you don't remember how you were baptized, or maybe it was baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost titles being repeated over you, it's okay to get rebaptized. In fact, what you did at that time was a very good thing. You were following what you knew and you were taking a step closer to the Lord. So I'm not here to condemn anybody that's been baptized another way, but I do want you to know that when you hear about baptism in Jesus' name, you need to obey the Scriptures and take that next step and be rebaptized in Jesus' name. Just like these disciples of John the Baptist who had been very faithful, they were devout, but when they heard about being baptized in Jesus' name, they were open to obeying the truth that they saw. And nowhere in the God's Word will you ever read where someone was ever baptized using the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's simply not in the Bible. In fact, we've been offering for many years now, if you can find in the Bible where someone was baptized and they used the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to baptize the person, we will give you $10,000. You will not find it. There would not be a problem baptizing in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost if it lined up with the Word of God. But we don't have any Scripture for this. We have a total of 8 Scriptures that support the doctrine of Jesus' name baptism and not one for the other. There are no Scriptures that support being baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the Scriptures that talk about baptism in Jesus' name are Matthew 28:19, again, name being singular. It's talking about the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38, Acts 8:16, Acts 19:5, Luke 24:47, Acts 4:12 tells us, you know, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus that saves us. Acts 10:48, we just read. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these Scriptures are so clear that we must be baptized in the name of Jesus. The book of Acts chapter 2, it is the beginning of the church. And as you read the book of Acts, you'll find the early church always baptized in Jesus' name. It's consistent all the way through the book of Acts. They always baptized in Jesus' name. And the fact of the matter is, someday we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to answer to God for our understanding of the Scripture, what we've heard here today, what we know, that we must be certain that we've been baptized in Jesus' name. So the question for you today is, are you certain that you've been baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins? If you're unsure, it's always wise to be safe. Make sure you're baptized in Jesus' name. Please don't allow the devil to deceive you into believing that this doesn't matter or that it's irrelevant to salvation. This matters. We started off the study, and I'm thankful that you're still here watching this. You start off, we were looking at the Scriptures. This is a salvation issue if we're baptized in the name of Jesus. So if you're not sure how you're baptized or you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, please feel free to contact me. And if you're in a different area of the world and you're watching this, I can probably set you up with somebody in your area that can baptize you. But let me know. We want to make sure that your salvation is secure, that you're baptized in the name of Jesus, just like the apostles, just like in the book of Acts. That you've followed the word of God, that you've obeyed those Scriptures and been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So the question for you is, what would stop you from being baptized in Jesus' name right now? Right now, what would stop you? Is there anything more important than being baptized in the name of Jesus? This is for all eternity. This is something that's going to affect you for eternity. It's important to make sure that you're saved. Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for watching. And I really appreciate your being here today. And feel free to share this with someone that maybe hasn't heard this truth before and you want to make sure that they're saved. Start a watch party. Join in with them. Do whatever you have to do. But let's make sure that you're baptized in Jesus' name and that everyone you know has heard this beautiful truth from the Word of God. Can we pray together? Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you today for your goodness. I ask, oh God, that you would bless all those who watch this short video, that you would bless them, Lord, with an understanding of who you are, the importance of being baptized in your name. Lord, that you would bless them, that you would touch them right now, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, that they would feel your presence. Lord, that they would know that you are there. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you just let this conviction settle on the hearts of anyone, Lord, that has not obeyed the scripture. There'll be an urgency in their heart and their mind to make sure that their calling and election is sure to be sure of their salvation and to take care of it immediately. I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you today and have a wonderful, wonderful day.